word. My name is Terry Drury, I'm a member of the OBC. The organisation we now know as the OBC started in 1897. On a wet spring day, five men met on a railway station platform overlooking the slums of Bermondsey. One of them was a bishop, Knox of Liverpool. Another was a brewer, Edwin Barclay of Southwark. The third was a seed merchant, Sutton of Reading. The fourth, Henry Gibbon, an Oxford College chaplain. The fifth was John Stansfield. They pointed out to John Stansfield that there was not a single boys' club in the era, and was he willing to start one in his spare time? He was a civil servant working for the customs and excise branch. If so, they promised to back him. The doctor accepted, and so the organisation we now know started. I would like to say just a few words about the doctor. He started working for the civil service as a very junior clerk, and then he was transferred to Oxford. Finding the university at Oxford, he decided to join becoming an undergraduate at Exeter College. He worked during the day and studied at night taking medicine. He passed his first exam and was transferred to Glasgow, where he'd done his training. No one knows quite how he done it, but he left Glasgow as a qualified doctor of medicine. He then came to London and started running the first boys' club in South London. The first club was started in a house in Abbey Street, which also was the doctor's surgery. A blanket on a rope divided the surgery from the club, and one can imagine the utter chaos that reigned as the boys were running all over the place. People paid for the treatment they received by making a donation if they could afford it. The boys paid halfpenny a week, which was a lot of money in those days. It all got too crowded and other premises had to be found, Dockhead being the first one. Others then followed, the Decimus in Decimus Street, which Albert went to because he lived in Alice Street, which is a stone's throw from the club. The Gordon, named after his doctor's son who tragically died in Burma, where he was working with children. And then we had Canterbury, which started in Fenwick Street, then went to Tanner Street. What would a club have offered Albert? It would have taught Albert to be a team member, not only in sport but in life. It brought the Christian religion to him because the doctor and the men that followed him in running the clubs were men of the Christian faith. It taught him football, boxing, running and cricket. At the end of the evening, everybody went to chapel for a short service unless they managed to get out before they were caught. Dockhead was a tough area. What sort of place it had been in the Queen Victoria came to the throne, you can read in chapter 15 of Oliver Twist. It was called Jacob's Island in those days, and Dickens' appalling picture includes a house on the roof on which Bill Sykes committed suicide. That battered building became the original Dockhead Club. I've since read that when Dickens' Oliver Twist book came out, a member of Parliament called him a liar when he said about the conditions. So Dickens took the Member of Parliament to Jacob's Island and showed him how the people of Bermondsey were living in those days. Famous sons. Some of the famous sons we've had. Alec Paterson, who changed Ballstall because he wanted to make sure that when the boys went to prison, they came out better than they went in. Basil Henriquez, who learnt his trade in Bermondsey and then went to the East End and founded the Oxford and St George's Club and then the Baron Julius Sussman. Donald Henke, who won fame for his articles as a student in arms and was killed on the Somme in 1916. Clement Attlee, who spent some time in the organisation and then went on to become an MP and Prime Minister of Great Britain. Tubby Clayton, a recruit from Portsmouth, who was the OMM until the First World War called him away, set up a soldiers' club in Flanders with Neville Talbot, called Talbot House, which later became Top H and is still running. Spirit of the OBC. Although the doctor left in 1910, he left behind men who were willing to carry on his work. What Bermondsey meant to Oxford, you can trace in our name. We started as the Oxford Medical Mission, then the Oxford and Bermondsey Mission, and ended as the Oxford and Bermondsey Club. They say there are two types of OBC members. One is a member of the club and one is a club member. A member of the club takes and gives nothing back. A club member tries to give to the club more than he has received from the club, but you never can. There is a saying, You can take the boy out of Bermondsey, but you cannot take Bermondsey out of boy. I would like to alter that just slightly. You can take the boy out of the OBC, but you can't take the OBC out of the boy. That was going to be my speech, but they've asked me to say a few words about how we run the club financially. As you are now aware, we started because of the generosity of those early Oxford men. The donations continued, not only from Oxford, but from elsewhere during the early 1900s, 20s, 30s, 40s and 50s. Nowadays, we rely on a grant from Southwark Council to pay the leaders' wages, but we also have other expenses to keep the OBC going. We get help from the Stansfield Club, which is the old boys section, and its members. We do get donations from other organisations, but as you realise, all charities are now chasing the same pot of gold. Sometimes we are successful, other times we are not. But we do lose money on a yearly basis, and that comes out of a small deposit account we have, which is going down at an alarming rate. So if you can please support us and help us to continue the work the doctor started, we would much appreciate it. Thank you, David.